Well, hello there. I'm Roger Huttley, the associate lead pastor here. So, it's my privilege to bring the Word of God to you today. A couple things first. Next week, you just saw it on the screen, is Treat Fest. And so, yeah, just really get behind that. It's right after church. Everybody say right after church. And that was pretty good. Thank you. And so at 12:30 next week. And I got to say, the announcements are looking so great. Val, I don't know if you're still in here, but those were two great announcements up there. You're doing a great job. And yes, they look fantastic. Let's give her a hand for putting those together. Yeah. So how many guys in here, you ever messed with crock pots? Anybody? Oh, some of you have. Woody, you have. Is this true? Huh. We'll have to talk about this. I've never messed with a crock pot in my life. I've smelled them, the good stuff that's in them. This last Friday, like 2 days ago, I was off and my wife was working. And she calls me up and she says, "Hey, will you get one of the crock pots out?" Now, first of all, I didn't know that there were more than one. Where are they? So she goes, "Doesn't matter, just get one out." So I got one out. And then she says, "Okay, here's what you need to do. You need to grab 5 chicken breasts out of the freezer, throw them in the crock pot, and then put a bunch, all of the salsa we have, pour it all over it." And I'm like, "That's it?" She goes, "That's it." She goes, "And put it on low." So, okay, so I did that, pretty basic. But I looked in there, and I'm telling you, I'm thinking, what's this going to do? Because it's, you know, you're looking at 5 frozen chicken breasts and a bunch of, anybody who's looked in a crock pot, there's like liquid in there, right? So I'm thinking there's got to be some water or something. So I asked her again, "Look, this doesn't look right." She's like, no, that's good. So anyway, set it on low. I left. I was gone all day. And on my way back home, she calls me and she says, "Well, did you do it?" And I say, "Yeah, I did." And she says, "Did you set the timer?" I say, I didn't know there was a timer. She says, "Oh no, we're having guests tonight and you didn't set the timer." And I said, "I didn't know there was a timer." I said, "I set it on low. The thing was on. I don't know. I never did this." So I get home. I'm kind of thinking, I don't know. I think there's an outside shot here. So I had COVID several weeks ago and I lost all my smell for a while, but it's coming back. So I'm thinking, okay, if it's good, I'm going to open that door and it's going to smell like something. So I open it up. I can't really smell too much. I'm thinking, oh no. I go in there. I open it up. Voila. It's perfect. It's perfect. And I did everything except I didn't set a timer, but it worked anyway. So you need to understand that the silver crock pot will work on low with no timer. Yes. Thank you. So the reason why I bring this story up is because a few weeks ago we had Alton Garrison here and he shared with us how we can be microwave Christians just because everything in our world is so fast. And if it's not fast, some of the lines I've been in lately, I felt like I was at Disneyland because, things are just taking longer for some reason and it gets frustrating. But the crock pot idea is what I want us to think about today with the subject we're talking about, which is falling in love with the Word of God. This is random. All morning long, I had that song running through my head. "I'll never fall in love again." Remember that song? It has nothing to do with anything. just couldn't get it out of my head. Anyway, that's what happens to me. Song after song after song all through the day. Anybody else like that? Yeah. Anyway, so this is a crockpot message. This is one that isn't going to happen overnight, probably. But it's something that's absolutely crucial, and it's something that will be such a blessing to you if you learn to fall in love with the Word of God. Okay? Now, I'm going to walk us through one of my favorite portions of Scripture, which is Psalm 1. Now, it will be on the screen, but if you want to turn there and you've got your Bible, you can do that. Okay? Here we go. We're just going to walk through it slowly. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. So this word blessed can mean happy or fortunate. If you don't walk in step with the wicked or be like the wicked or do as the wicked do, you will be a happy or fortunate individual. And then if we continue on, or stand in the way that sinners take, standing with those that are opposed to the ways and righteousness of God. So you are purposefully hanging out with the wrong crowd. And I was reminded that after I became a Christian so many years ago, I was realizing the other day that, you know, that really was a long time ago. That when I did, I had to quit hanging out with all of the people that I was hanging out with. And oftentimes we think of that situation and we think, you know, hanging out with the wrong crowd means these are terrible people. I shouldn't be hanging out with terrible people. Well, in my case, they weren't terrible people. They were nice guys. And there was a whole slew of them. I don't know if any of you had that when you were in high school or just after. We just had probably 30 guys that were a part of this group. They were all great people, but most of us had trouble with drugs and alcohol. And so after I became a Christian, I tried just hanging out like I always did. And right away, I went back. I went back to it. And so I knew I couldn't keep doing that. So I had to get other friends, and that was hard on them and hard on me, my old friends. And recently, a few years ago, just a couple years ago, I, through a series of events where I went to a couple of funerals, unfortunately, of old friends of mine, I was able to talk with quite a few of my old friends and not apologize, but to say, I am so sorry that it was that way. I just had to do it. I had to do it. I needed to start a new life, and I couldn't do it because I kept going back to the drugs. And what's so cool is my friends, you know, you'll often hear that if you do drugs and alcohol with people that it take away the drugs and alcohol, then you don't have anything in common. But it wasn't that way with these friends, because after all these years, every one of them said, oh, that's okay. We knew that you needed to change your life because you were such a mess. They all said that. and that you needed to get out of it. Of course, they didn't think that they did. But no, but there were, you know, hanging out with the wrong crowd, it's not always the terrible people. It's maybe good people that if you hang out with them, you're going to end up down a path you don't want to be. So, yeah, hanging out with the right people. And then the next part is, or sit in the company of mockers. This is kind of the next level, because this sitting word, sit, means that you are all in. You are in complete association with. So this means that you are all in to people mocking God, people mocking people who believe in God. You know, we don't want to be there. And then verse 2 says, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. And that's what I want to talk about today. whose delight is in the law of the Lord. So delight, this is to be blessed, happy, or fortunate. Your delight needs to be in God's word. Not a mandate, as we all love that word these days, don't we? Not a mandate, nor coercion. It's a calling. It's God saying, please. It's God saying, come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's saying, come to me. Delight in my word. It's going to be good for you. It's not going to be somebody knocking you over the head, even though some of us need it once in a while. It's a calling of the Spirit, and it's a wonderful thing. You know, and I've been in ministry for close to 30 years, and I've had opportunity to counsel different people over the years, and the biggest common denominator that I've found is that when people are struggling for whatever it is, there is not this delighting in the Lord. There's not this regular study of the Bible every day. When I say study, I'm not even saying you have to study the Bible, even though that's great. But even just reading a few scriptures and thinking about it for a little while, every day of your life, you might think, every day? Yeah. Because after a while, you're going to want to do it. You're going to want to do that. That's going to be something you don't want to do without. You're going to find yourself that in the afternoon, if you haven't done this, you're going to be going, oh, man, something's wrong. I don't know what happened today. You didn't spend time in God's word. And so it's something that needs to become a delight to you. Okay? You know, And as I said, I'm not talking about being a biblical scholar. It's not that. There are times when I'll read one verse, and it'll so hit me, I won't read anymore. And I'll just sit and I'll think about that verse and meditate on that verse. And I don't have to say, God, speak to me. He's already speaking to me. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. It's not always an easy thing, but it's awesome. The Word of God is awesome. The Word of God will speak to you in the midst of your circumstance. So everybody, oh boy, we got all kinds of experiences that we're going through. Circumstances, the Word of God will speak to you. And who knows what I'm talking about when I say that? Raise your hand. Yeah, so many of you know what I'm talking about. And that you're going through life, and then the Word of God speaks to you, okay? And there's some things in this world you're not quite sure, well, do I do this, do I do that? These people say to do this, these people say to do that. Both seem like it's pretty good. And you think, well, that's not going to be in the Word of God. But see, the Word of God will strike to your heart. And so the Spirit will speak to you in the Word through your heart and then into your mind. And then it's a wisdom, it's an understanding. You may not know at first exactly what to do, but you'll have a peace about it. And the Lord will show you what to do. The Word of God is so powerful. And Hebrews 4:12 talks about that. It says, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So why does the Word of God penetrate us and speak truth to our very soul and spirit? Why, I wonder, is that? Like no other book. Like no other book. Well, I can't even remember when I wasn't a Christian. It certainly didn't speak to me like it did after I was a Christian. But I can remember when I was in such trouble that I grabbed a Bible and was just trying to see if there was any hope in there. And I didn't understand much of it, but there was peace in it. I did know that. And there was something powerful about it. You know, the very first thing that John says in his gospel is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And what John is saying is that Jesus is the Word, and that when God created the heavens and the earth, he spoke it into existence. He spoke. So there's creative power in the spoken words of God. And the Bible is God's spoken word through people. And that's why it's so powerful. Because when the Word of God speaks to your situation, it speaks to your heart, that's the Holy Spirit of God speaking to you. And that's creative power. There's power behind that. I can remember when there was a great revival at the last church I was at. I've spoken about that many times. I'm not going to go into the whole thing. But I will say that the ministry that I had started, it started out with me and a girl flipping those transparencies. You guys remember that? I was just talking to Mike and Denise about that. Or they were talking to me about that. And I said, hey, I'm using that in my message. Anyway, transparencies were like, what's that thing called? Projector. Yeah, that's it. Projector. Anyway, so yeah, we have all the songs on these things, and then you'd have to have somebody that put that would flip them, you know. Anyway, it seems so long ago. It was me and then a gal who would do that, and then she'd kind of sing along with me. So that's how we started. And then within, 4 or 5 years, it grew to 3 bands, singers with each band, big choir. And so there was all these people, and it was just an amazing thing that God was doing. There was a lot of people that were really getting their lives turned around. It was one of those kinds of things. But I had never led that many people before, and they were frustrating me because they were creative people. And I am a creative person. And what can creative people do sometimes? They can act emotional. They can be a little up and down. They can react to situations. And I was getting so frustrated with these people. And I can't tell you how many practices I was so frustrated. And so I was having real trouble. People arguing, upset with each other, upset with me, hurt feelings. You know, if somebody's singing off pitch, I mean, I'm going to tell you. So that's just me. Now, I'm not talking about you. But if you're working in a ministry with me and it just doesn't sound good, then I'll walk over. Now, see, I'm so much nicer about it now. Aren't I nicer about it? Larry, not that I would ever talk to you. But I wasn't that nice about it. Anyway, coinciding with a trip that Teresa and I took to Hillsong Church in Australia, the Lord spoke through that and through this very simple scripture from Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, most of us know that scripture, but it just hit me square between the eyes. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I realized that I could either change how I was speaking to people, because I just had a very high expectation. I still do. I'm a little nicer about it today. But I could either speak to people in a nicer way, or I was going to continue to have a ministry, though it was working well. It would have eventually fallen apart. But the Word of God spoke to me, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I began to change the way I spoke. Instead of being so frustrated, if I'd feel the frustration, I would remember something that I learned at the Hillsong Conference. I heard over and over again, Teresa and I both did, that of believing in people. And that what an opportunity it is to be able to have some influence in somebody's life who struggles and be able to speak life into them. And also because the Holy Spirit lives inside them, even though at that moment they may be acting irrationally, I believe in the God that's in them and that they have tremendous potential. And if you have God living inside of you, you have incredible potential. Can I hear an amen? Yes. Say amen. Amen. Okay. Incredible potential. So, I changed my behavior because of the Word of God. It was birthed in me through the Word of God. I changed the way I spoke. I changed the way I was treating people. And it began to have a much better influence in their lives. So let's look to verse 3. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water. I love this, which yields its fruit in season. A tree that is planted by water means that it is healthy, it's strong, it's well-rooted in well-watered soil, okay? Yielding fruit means health, but it's also a blessing to others who can enjoy it. Now look, even if you like don't take care of yourself, you kind of make some wrong decisions, you're a little irresponsible. Let me tell you something. If you're in the Word of God regularly, sincerely, with a good heart, every day, you might be screwing up in a lot of other areas. But I'll tell you something, you're going to produce fruit. Now, that might be a shriveled grape, but it will be fruit. That means it'll be something that has a positive effect on those around you for Christ. Okay? So important. And as I said, I've worked with lots of different people over the years, and some people have had a lot of struggles. But if they were into the Word of God and they loved Jesus, they couldn't help but do some good things and bear fruit. And I want Sharon to come on up here. Sharon Mayhew, I don't know the struggles that Sharon has had in her life too much. But I do know that the Word of God has made a difference in her. And so just wanted her to share just a little bit about how God has changed your life.
Thank you. I'm glad to have the opportunity to get up here and just share with you how much the Word of God has impacted my life. I've been a Christian my entire life. I had accepted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior as a little girl, had a wonderful church family, awesome youth group. But I always relied on Sunday mornings to get my scripture, or an occasional Bible study to get my scripture. And it was about 3 years ago that I downloaded the YouBible app onto my phone, and I just started listening to a year through the Bible and having scripture read to me every day. And I could do this while I was doing dishes or laundry or preparing for work that day. And it really has been impactful on who I am. It has brought me to a deeper relationship. And so I just want to encourage everyone to get into Scripture daily, even teens, youth. Don't wait as long as I did, because it really gives you that rock to stand on.
Amen. Thank you, Sharon. Yeah, let's give her a hand. I love it. You know how easy it is to be, you know, we get great messages every week and great sermons every week here. Pretty spoiled, but it's great. And it's easy just to listen to that, but that's not what we're supposed to do. Even if you do a Bible study, personal reading of the Word of God and letting that settle into your spirit is just so huge, so huge. But I need to tell you, if you haven't been doing that, that's okay, because you can start today. And I want to tell you something. If you think your life is boring, start to get into the Word of God and let it begin to change you. You'll begin to see God using you. You'll begin to see that you're going to get opportunities to share Christ. You're going to see an opportunity to share the love of Christ with other people. Your life will not be boring. As a matter of fact, you won't believe the journey that you will be on. I promise you. In the last part of that scripture, and whose leaf does not wither, I love this, whatever they do prospers. Whatever they do prospers. So your leaf does not wither. That means healthy. That means sustainability. Okay? That means you're not going to wilt. You're healthy. Okay? And prospering is not necessarily financial well-being, although for some it could be. Sometimes God's blessing looks like that. But this means ultimate success in life. You are aligned with God, and you have a healthy relationship with Him. He is the streams of water that bring life. I just love that picture. It's so wonderful. The streams of water, the Holy Spirit. And it means when you come to the end of your life and you look back, you will have been a success in the eyes of the Lord. You loved other people. You loved family. You shared the truth of God's Son. You tried to follow the Lord's guidance as best you could. And you were a blessing to many. And because of it, you were blessed in many ways. In many ways. God's success can come quickly. Sometimes it must wait in His timing. Remember the crock pot? That's usually God. I have rarely seen Him do it a different way. It's always in His time, and it's great, but it's in His time because He wants you to go through that faith walk. He wants you to learn, and He wants you to grow and to become stronger. Okay, so last week, Pastor Tim talked about SOAP, which was all about, it was an acrostic, help me out, S, Scripture, O, Observation, A, Application, P, Prayer. Okay, good job. Good job. Well, I'm going to just list a few things. This is kind of like that, but when I talk about getting into the Word of God and letting it sink in, these are also things to think about, okay? So I'm just going to go through them quickly. Number one, what does this passage teach me about God? Okay? You'll learn so much about who God is. In the Old Testament, I want to encourage you, in the Old Testament, they would... we've been teaching through Genesis and Exodus, and it's so beautiful to see how God reveals Himself in the Word of God and revealed Himself to the people of Israel of who He was, what He was like, what He was about. So that's a great read. Number two, what does this passage teach me about the church? Okay, about the church. What does this passage teach me about the world I live in? What does it teach me about this? Does it give me warnings? Does it give me things to watch out for? Okay? Number four, what does this passage teach me about myself, about my own desires and motives? Does this passage require that I take action? If so, what action should I take? What do I need to confess or repent of? What have I learned from this passage that will help me to focus on God and strive for His glory? Now, all of these things can only happen if you're honest before the Lord. So that means if you read the Word of God, you're sincere. If you read the Word of God, it's not a checklist, although there's worse checklists out there, but It's honestly coming before God and saying, God, speak to me from this. You might have to form those words, but I promise you, you read the Word of God very long, you won't have to form those words. The Holy Spirit will begin to speak to you, because we all have things to work on. We all have things to improve. The Lord is drawing us closer to Him. James 1:22. I love the book of James. Straight to the point. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. So James is cut and dried. He's to the point. And he says, if you read the word, that's great. But if you don't do what it says, you're a fool. You're a fool. Because you can read the word of God and you can even memorize scripture. But if you don't do what it says and you don't apply the truths to yourself, one thing that can happen is you can start to use the word of God as a weapon in the wrong way. And you'll begin to quote it to other people to judge them. Okay? And that's no good. That's no good. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can throw out scriptures without love, and you're going to do more damage than good. But you don't have to do that, because you need to let the Spirit of God, let the Word of God come out of your mouth. And then it comes with love. And then it changes lives and it changes people. It's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing. If I can get the worship team to come up, that would be fantastic. Allow God to speak to you through His Word. Be honest with God. I've been a worship leader for many, many years. Many years. A little scary to think how many years. But the way I've been able to keep doing it is honesty. Talent is good. Leadership is good. But honesty in worship is the most important thing. Because if you have great music, and you may have been to churches that are like this, I hope not, but that maybe the music was great, but there was no honesty that came across in the worship. And so the lyrics didn't hold much weight. And so it all sounded great, but it wasn't the anointing of the Spirit. And so honesty is just so huge. Honesty is huge in worship. Honesty is huge when we are reading the Bible and say, God, I got nothing without you. But with you, I got everything. So Lord, help me. Help me. Humble yourself. Be honest. Be honest before the Lord. It's a great thing. And I hope that we always have honesty in our worship here. And we're going to sing another song here in just a minute. Loving God and loving His Word is the goal. And when I say it's a crock pot message, it's not a crock, it's a crock pot message. Because this is going to take some time. And many of you, I know you've done this already. You know what I'm talking about. And so you've done it over the span of your lifetime. And so the Word of God just becomes a part of you. And I want to ask you a question. Have you ever taken a Bible that was yours and held it like this? Because you weren't even thinking about it. You just did it because you loved it. It's because you love that God has changed your life. He's taken you from the pit and He's brought you out. And you love Him and you love His Word because He's used His Word. He's used His Word in your life. So you love it. You know, I just thought of something that happened a long time ago. I first came to Bethel, and I treat the Word of God, you know, honestly, respectfully, but for some reason, I first came to Bethel and I was up front talking and I had a Bible in my hand and we had to do the next song. So I kind of tossed it like this. Pastor Tim runs up on the stage, grabs my Bible. You probably don't even remember this. Grabs my Bible and just kind of sets it down and went and sat down. Well, that was a good reminder to me. I did love the Word of God, and I shouldn't have done that. And it's respect for the Word of God. I just thought of that a long time ago. Well, let's all stand up this morning. You know, if you do what the Word says, you read it, you're going to find yourself like a tree planted by the water, healthy, bearing fruit, making a difference for Christ in your world, living with purpose. And after you start to read the Word of God on a regular basis, you're going to start to fall in love with the Word of God. And it's going to make a difference in you and in those around you. Okay, we're going to sing a song. It's called Better Word. Better Word. And it's about the blood. But that's okay. We're going to sing it anyway because it's great. All right.